Galatians chapter 6, we'd like to begin tonight our study of Proverbs here in the New Testament. Because the Proverbs we're going to look at tonight have to do with the truth that is laid out here in these verses. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. These verses present to us a truth that arches over all of Scripture and really covers all of human behavior. It is the inarguable truth that our actions, the things that we choose to do every single day, the way that we live our lives, it affects us in a very real, a very personal, a very dynamic fashion. So that which we do right now will have an effect on what transpires in our lives in time yet to come. That is the basic principle that is presented here in these verses. Now, as we view ourselves, we understand that we are children of grace. We are the recipients of the unmerited favor and mercy of God. We understand that God withholds from us that which we truly deserve and all at the same time delivers to us that which we do not deserve. And so therefore we understand that we are children of grace and of mercy in this life. This truth that we see here tonight and also that we understand of being recipients of God's grace and of God's mercy, they give us great comfort. They give us great confidence in our lives. It'd be hard to even imagine what our lives would be without each of these things, without the grace and mercy of Almighty God. We'd live a dismal life, that is, for certain and for sure. We rejoice in that. We found forgiveness in the precious atoning blood of Jesus Christ. In Calvary's flow, we have found forgiveness. We have found a forgiveness in the sense that our sins are removed from our account. They've been paid for by Christ. And we know that they will never be remembered against us in any way ever again. So this means that when we sin, 1 John tells us that we have an advocate with the Father. Literally, when we sin, day by day, moment by moment, Jesus Christ is there at the right hand of God pleading for us or on our behalf. He pleads his own blood and his sacrifice upon the cross. Literally, that's what he does as we sin and as we go through this life in this way. That's a glorious blessing. That means that we can find forgiveness no matter what transpires in our life. That means that we can find these things based upon mercy and based upon blessing. And that is a wonderful thing. But how do you balance these two? We need to understand that we are recipients of grace and mercy, and we have forgiveness when we would come to God and ask for it in those things. But this passage here presents to us the truth that it does matter how we live our lives from day to day. It matters in a very real way, a very dynamic way, because we see that what we do today affects what happens tomorrow and on down the line. So just because we are recipients of grace or of mercy doesn't mean that we should not be principled and disciplined in how we live our life, because we find here the principle at work is that we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow in our lives. Even under grace and mercy, we still reap what we sow. We teach that to our kids, or we try to, but we need to be reminded of it ourselves, and it folds very nicely into the study of the book of Proverbs, especially into our subject tonight, because the reality is we are always sowing something. Every day we are sowing something. We are sowing some kind of seed. We are sowing some kind of potential fruit that will grow and we will harvest at some point in our life. Every day we are doing that. And we're also reaping. We're reaping what we have sown yesterday and the days and weeks and months and years before today. There is always the sowing and always the reaping. So we need to engage in the book of Proverbs and understand that making this daily choice is very important. The question is, what are we sowing? We want to think tonight the subject of our Proverbs is going to be the difference between the lives of the righteous and the lives of the wicked. Now again, we've touched on this subject somewhat, but the Proverbs are very explicit to tell us about this difference. And at the root of it, or at the foundation of it, is the sowing and reaping principle. We sow to the flesh and we will reap to the flesh, as Galatians says. Likewise, if we sow to the Spirit, we will also reap to the Spirit, as this verse tells us. And so, this is a subject that ought to cause us to contemplate our lives and our manner of living. A lot of times, we only think about our manner of living as if, we are just obeying a parent. You know, and that's not all bad, not saying that at all. But we also need to be thinking about the fact that what we do today affects what our life is going to be tomorrow. And yes, we know God is sovereign in all things, but He still says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And I would argue that that even highlights the sovereignty of God, because He makes sure that whatever we're sowing, we will also reap in time to come. That the events that are set in motion today will carry themselves through in time to come, either in a positive way or a negative one. Let us understand that this principle works both ways. And so we often, when we say, you're going to reap what you sow, it most of the time has a negative connotation. We most of the time are saying it in a fashion to our children to kind of rebuke them, to tell them, that you're going to be sorry for that in time to come. But it also works the other way, and we need to grab hold of that. That when we sow to the Spirit, we sow in godliness, we sow to the positive, we will reap it. God will make sure of it in time to come. In these Proverbs, the lives of the righteous, or those who live virtuously, uprightly, those who live decently and lawfully, and those of the wicked, who are obviously on the other side of that, are contrasted, and you will see a great difference. There are consequences. These Proverbs will teach us that there are consequences to everything we do every day of our life and the choices that we make. The question tonight before you is, and this may not be one you hear asked much, and you can turn to Proverbs chapter 10 as we ask it. They ask you tonight, what kind of life do you want? Some might reject that as, you know, name it and claim it type stuff or prosperity gospel. That's not it. If it is true that we reap what we sow, then we have a big influence on what that harvest is going to be. And if we want our life to look a certain way and be a certain way, according to what we've learned from the Word of God, we should want that, then we should be sowing a certain way now in order to get that in time to come. So the question is, what are we sowing? What are we putting in to the ground? And this can apply to so many things in our life, every area of our life. If we're not sowing good, we're not going to reap good. If we're not sowing blessings, if we're not sowing to godliness, faithfulness, we're not going to reap to those things. A lot of times people wonder why their lives are out of order, why their relationships are broken down, why these things are happening in their life. And a lot of times it is the reaping sowing principle that is just manifesting itself as God has said. Look at verse 6 here in chapter number 10. There are actually so many of these, we're going to look at them tonight and next week also. Noticing here in verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So right away we find these two ways contrasted, the just and the wicked. These blessings have reference to both spiritual and temporal. If you hold your place there, turn over to Deuteronomy 28. So there are blessings upon the head of the just. Again, sowing spiritual goodness and blessing is going to mean that we reap spiritual goodness and blessing in all things. It means that we are going to be able to have a harvest that is going to be a blessed event in our life. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now, we all want that, verses 3 through 6 there. We want those many blessings upon us. But again, this is conditional. And it is saying we have to sow to this if we are going to reap it. And the promise is that if we do, we certainly will. So there are temporal blessings that can be blessed in our life, as we see there, spiritual blessings as well. And we see they are on the head or upon the life of the just. Now going back to Proverbs chapter 10, on the other side of that, we see the word but, which presents this great contrast. Violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Some would say that the phrase covereth the mouth of the wicked is an allusion to the covering of the mouths and faces of condemned criminals that used to be in times gone by. Now we might say that was cruel and unusual punishment for most of our criminals, but it speaks to the fact that God's judgment will fall upon them. Violence is covering their mouth, and they will experience that judgment accordingly. Look at verse number 9. All right, that's a good thing. It seems like that Sister McHouston's been located, and that's a blessing. So we can all praise the Lord for that. So, verse number 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Now here we see the word uprightly, having reference to one who is just and faithful in his dealings, one who can stand up and be not proud in the sense of who he is, but not ashamed of what he's done. He is upright in the things that he does. He walketh surely, securely, confidently. It has a reference to a consistent walk of faithfulness. This is describing a life of consistent choices that are based upon the grounds of Scripture and upon the godly direction that He would have us to go. And so that will bring the blessing of walking surely, or walking in a manner that is consistent and faithful, and certainly can rest upon God's favor and providence for care in his life. But the one who walks perversely, that is in crooked and sinful paths, that deals hypocritically or deals falsely with others, he says, he that perverteth his ways, he shall be known. It reminds me of the verse in Numbers that tells us, be sure your sins will find you out. And so the person that does this shall be known. We get so worried about exposing the sins of others or exposing the ways of others, when in reality, all we've got to do is leave it alone. Leave it alone, and God will work it out, and He will show those ways. He will make them known, as it is said here. They will be publicly discovered, they will be exposed, and they will be punished. And so you're beginning to see, again, this contrast. We looked a few weeks ago about the way of the godly, the way of the wicked. This is more about the daily choices of lifestyle, the ongoing struggles that we have to choose the good or to choose the evil, and the consequences of both, with the emphasis being on the fact that what we do today affects what our life is going to be in time to come. Look at verse 16. This continues. Verse number 16, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. So the industry, the effort, the work of the righteous is for God and for His glory. The key there, of course, is the righteous. So that which a righteous person does, or when a person is acting in a righteous manner, he is laboring unto the glory of God in his life. What his hands may be involved in may not be directly gospel work or ministry work, but if they are faithfully engaged in supporting his family, if they're faithfully engaged being industrious and earning a living as God would direct, they are certainly pleasing to God, and they tendeth to life. That is, it leads to an abundant living. How many of us tonight would say that we lack anything? That we have such a drastic need in our life that we don't know if we will survive through tomorrow or next week? None of us would say that. None of us would, with a clear conscience, blame God for the things in our life. Most of us, if we have lacking in our life, it's probably because of, or it's probably our own fault for things that we've done or choices we've made. And so we can see the blessing here of the labor of the righteous. That, of course, applies physically and spiritually. We labor in spiritual means, and God will provide the harvest. Doesn't always come as fast as we'd like, but it will come. It will come if we sow the seed. But on the other side of it, of course, the fruit of the wicked is sin. The fruit of such a life of wickedness is just more sin, is just continuing down that path. And so, again, you continue to get a very clear picture of the difference between the two, and we can drive home the point to ourselves tonight, to our kids, and to those that we have influence over, that in a very real way, we do affect our future by what we do now. And I can think of a lot of things that we could focus on, like our faithfulness in the house of God, like our habits in the scriptures, or our prayer life, or when we think about our relationships and investing in them in this time, it will reap benefits in time to come. All of it will. And that's what we need to see. The next passage is at the end of chapter number 10. It's verses 27 through 30. So this is a unique passage. It's not unique in that it's the only one or rare. There are several through the book of Proverbs. But it is unique in that it is a cluster of verses together that really deal with about the same topic. And so we find here in verse 27 through 30, four contrasts between the righteous and the wicked. Four of them. We're going to find a contrast in their lives, in their hopes, in their ways, and in their stability. So again, we're showing these differences. What does life look like if I choose and I live life in a godly manner and consistently and faithfully apply the wisdom of the book of Proverbs and on a larger scale, the wisdom of the Bible to my life? What is it going to look like? On the other side of that, if I fail that, if I don't do that on a consistent daily basis, what is my life going to look like? And this passage does a good job at showing us exactly that. Proverbs 10, verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." So here we have a contrast in their lives. A contrast in their lives. This means, as it says here, the lives of the righteousness, which are characterized by a fear of the Lord. We keep coming back to that phrase, don't we? I mean, it was in the first part, chapters 1 through 9, as Solomon laid the foundation of wisdom, and it continues to come back to us because it's such an important part. If we are able to sow in righteousness and the fear of the Lord, which of course means reverence to God, living with godly principles in mind and shaping our lives in that way, it results in a fullness and an enjoyment of life. That's what it's saying here. The fear of the Lord, it prolongeth days. Now, again, some would say our date when we're going to die is set there, and we know what it is, all of that. And so when we look at it that way, we're looking at it very linearly. And we're saying, okay, God has set that date, and because of sovereignty, nothing I do is going to change that. But what we need to understand is that God knew all of the things in our lives and purposed and planned all of the things that we would see, do, and experience before that date was ever set. So those things are already included, let's say. Those things are already figured in by God. And so in a very real way, the choices we make today do affect the lives we lead, even up into the time that we die. And so we see it here. We see it in Ephesians 6, where it tells us to honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, that thy days may be prolonged upon the earth. And that principle comes in over and over again through the Word of God. We can have long days, the Bible tells us. We can have a full life if we live in this manner and put the Lord first and make these so to righteousness would be the way to say it. On the other hand, it tells us here that the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The years of the wicked. It's also interesting here that the time element is different. When he's talking about the righteous, he says days. When he's talking about the wicked, he says years. That interesting? So we may be able to live life to the fullest and enjoy every single day. But those that are wicked, those that sow to the world and sow to the flesh consistently and build a pattern of life to that effect, are going to have their life and existence perhaps shortened, or at least having the joy and the joy and rejoicing taken out of it. And it would be, in effect, years that happens to them. And so there's a great contrast in our very lives that are put forth here. In verse 28, we see there's a contrast in their hope. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, or it shall be realized. It shall come to fruition. And so that is telling us that when we live righteously and when we sow to righteousness, the hopes that we have, and we know we have many, our main hope, of course, being Jesus Christ, but then that distills down to very many hopes in time to come of promises that have been made and things that will be delivered. And so as that transpires, we can rest assured that they will be realized in our life and we will enjoy them. The hope of the righteous shall be realized. On the other side of it, the expectation, he uses the word expectation, and you can kind of see the word expectation and hope being very similar in what they're looking at. Of course, hope has much more spiritual definition, I think, than expectation, perhaps. Maybe I'm grasping at straws there, but he says, but the expectation of the wicked, it shall perish. So that which the wicked, who has sown to flesh, sown to world, that which they expect, that which they look forward to, that which they hope, will be cut off. It'll perish. It'll be put away. And you might ask yourself, I got it. I got it with the first three verses, the first three Proverbs. Why do we need so many? And I'd say that's because of the human condition. So that as we read the book of Proverbs, it's not just in chapter 10 in a couple verses, but we're going to find it all throughout the rest of Proverbs here, so that we are constantly reminded. That's why it's such a good thing to read the book of Proverbs on a daily basis. Use it for your devotional. It has 31 chapters. Read one a day, as we've said before. And it covers. In about every chapter, you're going to find some allusion to the contrast between if we sow to the world and if we sow to the flesh. And so daily you can be reminded. And so that's part of perhaps why it is here, or the good to it. In verse 29, there is also a contrast in their ways. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord, in other words, talking about the precepts of God, the way to live. It's courage, it's confidence, it's support to the upright. And those things that we do in living life in that way, it doesn't make us weak. Some people would say that believing the things that we believe is sort of using Jesus or the Bible like a crutch, and it makes us weak, makes us inferior. But it's actually quite the opposite. It gives us confidence, it gives us strength, it gives us character to be able to live every day. And what they don't realize is that we're reaping those things that we've sown in righteousness, and therefore improving our lives each and every day as we do so. But however, on the other side of that, destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. There is going to be a great destruction to those who work iniquity. Hold your place here. Go back to Psalm 73. We read from this psalm when we were contrasting the riches of the world and those kinds of things. Till Asaph went to the house of the Lord. We read there too a few weeks ago in our series on worship. But be reminded here in verse number 17, he's talking about those that sow to worldliness, those that sow to the flesh. He had been envious of them. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. And he goes on. And then if you look down into verse number 27, it says, For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. So again, even in David's writing, you see the contrast. Or excuse me, that was Asaph's psalm. You see the contrast. You see Asaph saying, I'm envious at what they have, but I realize now that what they have is just for a moment, and they are going to reap what they're sowing. Sometimes we think that because people that are of the world, that don't have any care for the things of God, maybe even blaspheme God, because they are rich, because they have decent things in this life, or because it doesn't seem like they're harmed any at all for what's going on, that somehow this sowing and reaping thing doesn't apply to them. They may go through all of this life, and they may always have the good things in life. They may always have the big bank accounts. They may always have everything they want in the flesh. But there's coming a reckoning day. There's coming that day when they will definitely reap what they've sown. And there will be no turning back from that. So this is a principle that goes, of course, throughout Scripture. Back to Proverbs 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 30. We see a contrast in their stability. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked